Chapter 1. It was a new day, and I felt on top of the world. With all of the aristocrats in my possession, I was the new leader of Edenheart. Of course, no one except for our small family knew. But soon, the rest of the world would know my name and fear my power. I had a few tasks to take care of on this brand new day, and I felt invigorated. Life was wonderful. We'd caged all of the aristocrats and kept them on a steady stream of tranquilizers, with a few breaks to keep them fed and watered. We'd spent the last few days transforming the women with the leftover creatures that Josephine, Ryan, and the trappers had brought to the manor. Now, we only had a handful of aristocrats left over to experiment on. Our army of monster women was steadily growing into the double digits, and before long, we'd have enough for a full battalion. We didn't have much time left before I knew we'd have to leave Edenheart and move on to the next city. I dispatched soldiers and some of my other monster women to the two entrances into the town, and they'd stop anyone from entering. If the aristocrats coming in lived here, the guards would capture and drug them before bringing them back to the manor. Once we finished with that and used all of the creatures that Ryan and Josephine captured, we'd journey to where Edenese trappers had cornered the drake. I needed the beast's core for future transformations, but for now, the crates full of mundane creatures would do just fine.
Charles?
Daisy peeked her head into the laboratory's doorway.
Are we ready to get started?
The bear girl stepped through the threshold and swung her arms lazily at her sides. Since it was colder outside from the quickly approaching fall, the brunette wore a red and black plaid overcoat, a cream-colored dress underneath, and long, white, thigh-high socks with elegant velvet bows at the back of each. Her short brown hair shifted slightly as she tucked a strand behind her ear, and when the bear girl's honey-colored eyes reached mine, they twinkled happily. Her small, fluffy ears poked out of her straight hair, and the right one twitched ever so slightly. "I'm ready whenever," I breathed, and stood from my crouched position beside my machine. I was making a last-minute adjustment to one of the larger electrical components. I want everything to be perfect when we find the core.
All of the soldiers are ready!
A clear, excited voice sang from the stairwell.
They've lined up outside of the door with all of the leftover aristocrats. Once we finish a transformation, they'll bring down the next one as they escort the new monster girl out.
Valerie skipped into the room with her hands held behind her back. The feline woman's oceanic blue eyes glittered excitedly, and when she bounded over to me, the ash blonde pressed a tender kiss to my cheek. The cat girl wore her usual leotard with a light blue, knee-length coat with fur trim on top. When I glanced down at her feet, Valerie gestured toward the pair of shoes that Edenie had given her the day before. "Very nice," I complimented. "They look lovely."
"Thank you, thank you,"
the feline woman giggled and took a little bow.
"Edenie said that before we leave for the next city, I can raid her closet again and take all the shoes that I want. But I think, for now, these heels are fine. They're so pretty and very comfortable. I didn't know that shoes could be so nice. I can't stop thinking about getting more and more..."
"Charles,"
a third voice boomed.
"The guards dispatched into the city found more consorts and workers hidden inside a few larger manors. What should they do with them?"
"Take them to the duchy," I shouted back. "They'll need to be fitted with armor and trained for battle." Ryan repeated what I'd told her to the soldier waiting above, and his curt reply told me that he'd understood. Within seconds, the imp woman appeared in the doorway and stomped inside with her head held high. The red-skinned imp's long, oil-black hair cascaded down her back, and when her yellow eyes met mine, a sly smile spread over her plump lips. Her long legs tensed and flexed as she sprinted across the room and wrapped her arms around me in a tight embrace. The black-haired beauty pressed soft kisses to my cheeks, and when she pulled away, she nuzzled her head into the crook of my neck.
"Charles,"
an alluring voice purred,
"are we ready to start the experiments?"
Edenie, Cleia, and Josephine burst into the room and joined their sisters in a tight circle around me. I rested my eyes on the wolf woman and took in all of her exquisite features for a moment. The duchess's white and blue-tipped hair shifted around her sloping shoulders, and her sharp violet eyes cut into mine with a sly smile. Her slightly pointed chin angled up to meet her smooth jawline, and her prominent cheekbones caught the overhead light perfectly. Her pointed wolf ears stuck out of her sleek, straight hair, and her long, luxurious tail brushed at the stone beneath her feet. I remembered a time where I was so afraid of her. but I still found it within myself to think that she was beautiful. Terrifying, but stunning beyond belief. She was mine now, and I would never let her go no matter what stood in my way. The same went for the rest of my monster women, the army included. All of them belonged to me. I was their creator, and they loved me with every fiber of their beings. No man would ever lay their hands upon them and feel their supple flesh against their own. I owned each of them, and I fully intended to keep it that way for the rest of my life.
Charles?
A soft voice to my left asked, and I turned my eyes toward the speaker.
What's the matter? You looked pensive for a moment.
Josephine stared up at me with her large, innocent, orange cat-like eyes and gripped onto my shirt sleeve for dear life. The heiress's face was round, and her nose small and upturned. If I hadn't known her, I would have thought that she had a sweet and kind-hearted disposition simply based on her looks. The blonde's face tilted back, and her eyes continued to probe me for any answers, but I simply smiled down at her. "Nothing's the matter," I replied. "I was just thinking, in the future, when I finally passed, our children will inherit the throne and rule this country for the rest of the time. My descendants. It's a strange thing to think about. Not long ago, I was nothing more than a brute to the women of Edenheart, and now I'm the only thing they need in their lives. I've come so far. I've built so much. I know I have a lot more work to do before we get to that point, but I'm the controller of Edenheart, and before long, I will have 2 or 3 more cities under my belt.
We'll build much more,
Cleia commented.
Every city we come into contact with will fall to your power, Charles. I just know it. I've seen many warriors and leaders in Kalara's life, but none of them have the determination and perseverance that you do. When I look at you, Charles, I see the future of the kingdom unfolding right in front of us. You may not be sitting on the throne right now, Charles, but you are the king already.
The Nyx woman stared up at me with her bright sage-colored eyes, and a serene smile spread over her plump lips. Her long, loosely curled aquamarine hair shifted down her back, and as she stepped closer, she tucked a stray strand behind one of her pointed ears. Her skin was milky white, and when I brushed against it with the tips of my fingers, it felt silky smooth, like velvet. All of my women were unique, but equally beautiful in their own ways. Some of them were softer and sweeter, while others were fiery and boisterous. But that didn't mean I didn't love them all the same.
The world is at our fingertips,
Edeny breathed.
Soon, all of it will be ours, and no one will be able to stand in our way. Though, we have to understand, Charles, if you take the capital and announce yourself as king, there will be trouble. What do you mean, Edeny?
Cleia asked.
I thought once we took the capital and named Charles the ruler, all of our problems would go away. Sure, on this continent, but there are other countries that won't be so willing to take up our beliefs. There will be uprisings and more fighting after we take this country.
Oh, no!
Valerie gasped.
You mean, even after we fight all these cities and kill the queen, there will be more fighting?
Even if there is more fighting, I grunted, we will stand and fight to protect our beliefs. I don't care how long it takes us, but the world's men will be free. Even if we have to fight leader after leader, we'll do it to end the brute slavery. I'm fully prepared to keep fighting, even if it means that I'll be fighting until the end of my life. We will bring peace, or we will kill those standing in our way until we reach it.
Oh, Charles, when you talk like that, I get all goose-pimply all over.
Sire, a man's voice asked from above, are we ready to begin? Your soldiers are getting antsy since we cut off the aristocrats' tranquilizer supply. They don't want them to wake while we're experimenting.
Yes, I shouted back. We're ready to begin. Bring down the first woman and we'll prepare the machine. A guard stomped down the stairs with a sleeping aristocrat in his arms. The woman's head lolled back, and her right hand dragged against the ground limply. The soldier waited for my instruction a little farther into the room, and I pointed him toward the open door of compartment B. The older man nodded once and then stepped inside of the small room, where he rested the aristocrat against the cold metal floor. Valerie broke away from our small group, skipped to the wall where the leftover crates rested, and picked one from the top. The feline woman glanced inside and giggled before racing back to us.
What's inside?
Daisy asked, took the box from Valerie, and stepped toward the open door of Compartment A.
Looks like some sort of delicious snack to me. But I'm sure that none of you would agree. I think it's some sort of rabbit. It doesn't look like a mythical creature, though, but I doubt that'd make a difference.
The bear girl flipped open the box and stared down inside of the darkened space. The brunette scrutinized the small beast for a second, and then reached into the crate.
It's an ordinary rabbit. Maybe a dwarf rabbit or something like that, but certainly not a mythical beast. It'll do well for the experiment, though.
Daisy lifted out the small rabbit, glanced over it for a second with a faraway smile, and then dropped it into Compartment A before shutting the door with a soft click.
We're ready, Charles,
the bear girl assured.
Now it's your turn.
I nodded once and then crossed the room toward one of my small tool tables. I grabbed up a glass vial of my blood and then moved toward the open door of Compartment C. Every time I created a new monster woman, I used my blood in the experiment, specifically from an old wound in between my thumb and pointer finger. I'd broken the skin so often that it would never fully heal past a scar, and had to use one of my alchemy potions to heal the injury, but decided that it would be better if I drew blood and used that, instead of hurting myself each time. I pulled out the cork in the container and held out the vial over the corrugated copper flooring. I tilted it and let the scarlet liquid dribble out onto the floor in thick droplets. 1, 2, I counted off, then pulled the vial back. 3. I was curious to test whether different amounts of blood would have different effects, but unfortunately we didn't have time to experiment. Before any of my women could move, I crossed the room toward the enormous panel of bulbs, buttons, and switches. I gripped the largest one in my hand and then scanned the room for a second. Each of my women looked to me with excited and impatient expressions. They always loved it when I created a new sister for them, and pretty soon we'd have droves and droves of them. Each new monster woman I created would be their sister, and they'd acclimate them into our growing family. So far, the monster women we'd already created got along well with the family, and I'd worked with them individually to show them how our family dynamic performed. They may have been my soldiers, but I was still their creator and master. Once the capital was mine, all of the women in the army would bear my children and repopulate the earth with monster-human hybrids. I took a deep breath and swung the switch down into its cradle with the crackle of electricity. My machine began to hum softly in the background as electricity flowed through the thick cables and surged toward the components inside the copper shell. The pistons at the top of my machine pumped in time with the low humming, and pure white steam escaped the valves. I'd worked on my machine until it was perfect, and as I watched each part work seamlessly in tandem, I felt proud. My machine was the only one in existence, and I doubted that anyone else had ever attempted something like this ever before. "Close your eyes," I commanded, right as the light pouring out of the compartments reached a pinnacle. My women responded immediately, hunkered down closer to the floor, and either placed their hands over their eyes or tightly closed them. I clamped my right hand tightly over the upper half of my face and waited for the humming sounds to calm for a moment. The sounds all around me loudened to a crescendo, and then slowly died out. When I removed my hand from my eyes, I half expected the room to be filled with acrid smoke, like all of the other times before. But the air was fresh and clean, as it was a few moments ago. My machine was perfect, every part of it streamlined and refined to perfection.
Go ahead, Charles! Bring her out!
I crossed the room toward the smoke-filled third compartment and paused for a moment outside the glass window. My hand hovered over the handle as I glanced in, but my view was obscured by the steam covering the glass. I gripped the handle tightly in my hand and opened the door as the roiling steam billowed out on either side. "Hello?" I called into the brightly lit room. "Hello?"
"Hello?"
a soft voice answered, and I chuckled softly under my breath at her sweet, slightly accented voice. I wafted the steam away from my face and peered around the small room for the woman. I finally found her crouched in a corner at the back of the room. And when her eyes fell on me, a broad smile spread over her lips. "My name is Charles Rayburn," I uttered, and offered her my hand. "I'm your creator, and I love you. Welcome to the new world." The woman sitting on the floor's short golden brown hair reached her chin, and long, fluffy gray ears hung down to her shoulders. Her large gray eyes sparkled in the bright light, and when she reached out for me, her hands were small and delicate like paws. Her round nose twitched, and she scratched at it with a single finger as she continued to stare up at me.
"Charles Rayburn,"
the bunny girl repeated.
"That sounds so familiar. Do I know you?"
"You may have," I nodded, and helped her to her feet. "But you'll know me much better now, I promise."
"Charles! Bring her out! Bring her out!" "You know, Val,"
Josephine giggled,
"we have a lot of experiments to do over the next few hours. We can't be introduced to every single one of them like we normally do."
"Nonsense," I chuckled, and urged the bunny girl forward. "We can take as much time getting to know them as we want. Now, let me introduce you to your newest sister." I brought the petite bunny out into the open, and all of my monster women gasped before rushing forward to greet her.
"Can we name her? Charles, please, please, can we name her right now?"
"Sure," I tittered, and then turned toward the brunette rabbit girl. "Would you like us to pick out a name, or do you have one in mind?"
"Charles picked out most of our names. I was the first, and he helped me pick out Valerie, and it's the best name in existence. Well, except for all of my sister's names. They have the best names, too."
"I want Charles to name me,"
the small bunny girl breathed.
"You can help, but I want the name to come from him."
"Yay! That's the best part."
"Val, my dear, dear sister,"
the red-skinned imp chuckled.
"You think every part is the best part."
"All right. Give me a moment to think." I stared down at the beautiful petite brunette and tapped my chin as I thought. All of my women had unique names, some of them from books I'd read or names that I'd admired for a long time.
"Leonora, Eleonora, Eleanor, Lenora, Leela."
"Elsie," I uttered, and the bunny girl tilted her head curiously. "Oh, you like that one?"
"Hey!"
The cat girl gasped and then laughed with her eyes tightly squeezed shut.
"I was on a roll over here." "Oh,"
Josephine gasped.
"Like, Elsie? Did I get that right?"
"I like that one,"
the brunette rabbit nodded.
"That sounds really pretty, and I think it suits me."
"It does," I breathed, and then opened my arms to her. "Welcome to the family, Elsie. I'm so glad to meet you finally."
"Master Rayburn," the soldier called down to me, "should I bring in the next one?"
"Yes," I answered. "When you do, please bring our newest family member upstairs and unite her with the other monster women."
"Yes, sire,"
the soldier barked back and heavily tramped down the stairs with another sleeping aristocrat in his arms.
"Milady, if you wait a moment, I'll be right with you."
We worked diligently until late in the afternoon, transforming our captured aristocrats into loving monster girls and giving each of them new names. Each time the older guard brought down another noble, we grabbed one of the crates from along the walls, placed the beast within my machine along with the aristocrat, and then I placed my blood within the third compartment. After each transformation, the corpses of the former aristocrats were hauled away, and in the end, I wasn't sure how long it took. But time seemed to fly by with each beautiful creature that stepped out of my machine. It was almost like my dream from so long ago. But instead of my drawing room, it was set down in my laboratory. I never dreamed that I would create an army entirely composed of monster women, but here we were, making it a reality. I'd known since I was a child that I was destined for greatness, but in the world that we lived in, I thought something like this would never happen. I fully believed that I was destined to be nothing more than a lowly consort or worker in an aristocrat's shop. But I'd taken my fate into my own hands and formed it into something entirely different. I'd fought hard to become a scientist and doctor while maintaining my level as an alchemist. And then the Duchess found me. I had to thank Edeny for a lot, even in the beginning when she was terrible to me and threatened my life constantly. The Duchess was a different woman now, and I'd made her that way. But before all of this, she taught me more about myself than I'd originally realized. Her constant torment and terrorizing made me a stronger man. And after I'd transformed her, I felt a strange sense of respect for her. Sure, the things she'd put me through were horrific, but I wouldn't be the man I was today if it weren't for her. For the longest time, I told myself that I would kill the Duchess, and then that'd be the end of it. I never thought I could look at her face after the transformation and love her, but I did. After the experiment, Edeni was the same woman she was before, strong-willed, assertive, and decisive. But a lot of the bad traits I'd come to know so well had simply melted away. I'd made her into a new person, with new beliefs and morals, and I loved her for it. "Was that all of the aristocrats?" I asked, as the guard escorted out the last monster woman. The guard turned, rolled his eyes toward the ceiling, and thought for a few seconds.
"Yes, sire," the soldier answered. "The soldiers at the entrance of the city are on the lookout for any women coming in from out of town, and we will arrest them as soon as they step foot on Edenhart soil."
"Good," I nodded. "Thank you for everything you've done."
"Charles?"
Daisy smiled. "Yes?" I asked.
"What do we do now? Now that we've transformed all of the aristocrats, what do we do?"
"Huh," I grunted. "I have a solution for that. Guard, I have a job for you." The older man turned toward me and raised his bushy eyebrows out of curiosity. He looked to be in his mid-30s with a long, jagged scar down the left side of his face. Behind the lifted visor of his helmet, his wide-set brown eyes looked kind but astute. He dropped the unconscious aristocrat he lifted, snapped to attention, and hustled over.
"Yes, master," he boomed. "What can I do for you, sir?"
"What is your name?" I prompted.
"Ascara Page,"
the soldier answered in his deep, oaky voice. "There's something that I need you, specifically you, to do," I stated. "The new monster women will need to be trained and fitted with armor. Do you think that you and your men can handle that? My women and I will be away for the next few days and won't be able to do it ourselves. My trappers have found a drake, and we need to kill it for its elemental core."
"Yes, sire," Ascara grumbled warily. "I will take care of everything while you and the mistresses are away."
"Actually,"
Cleia interjected.
"Charles, since my power hasn't activated yet, why don't I stay back at the manor with the soldiers and keep watch on the new monster women? I don't want to admit it, but I fear that if I went with you to hunt down the drake, I'd only get in the way since my power hasn't manifested yet."
"Sure. You can stay back at the manor. I know you're worried about your power, so you have full permission to go there if you wish."
"Oh, thank you, Charles,"
the Nyx woman breathed. "Private Page," I addressed him formally, "please take Cleia upstairs with you and show her where the other monster women are. She will show you where all the things you'll need are. I want you to remember, I'm putting all of my trust in you, and I expect results. If I see that you're working hard and making improvements with the troops, you'll be heavily rewarded."
"Oh, thank you, sire," the older man bowed his head. "We'll get going now."
The dark-eyed man nodded to me, gestured to Cleia, and then led the Nyx woman out of the laboratory.
"All righty,"
Valerie squealed.
"Are we heading out on the road? Oh, this is so exciting. Edeni, didn't you say it's a 3-day journey to where the trappers found the drake?"
"Yes. They found it high in the mountains in an underground cave. It built its nest down there, and they found it right as it was coming out at nightfall to feed. It killed off most of the hunting party, but 2 or 3 of the men managed to flee."
"We should leave immediately," I grunted. "We'll be riding to the location on horseback, not in the carriage."
"What?"
the feline woman gasped. "Yes. We'll take roads most of the way there, but once we get to the mountains, we'll have to follow a map to the exact location. Edeni, I'm sure our guards have already brought us the horses."
"Indeed, my love. They should be waiting outside of the manor right now."
"Now?" I grinned. "Let's get the horses and go find us a drake."
"I'm excited to fight again. I feel mighty now, especially seeing Edeni's power at work. Oh, man, I want that kind of power, too."
"And you will," I chuckled darkly. "All we have to do now is get our hands on the drake's core, and you'll have all the power you want in the world. I don't care how hard the battle against the drake will be. We'll get the core, even if I have to tear it out with my bare hands."